Hello, friends, and welcome to Beloved City Church in person, online, on the podcast. Thank you for being with us in these moments. No matter where you are on your faithing journey, new to faith and spirituality, or exploring Jesus for the first time, maybe you've been a longtime Jesus follower. I do believe today will be one more opportunity to help you, to encourage you, and to challenge you even to take one more step towards truth about God and about faith and about yourself. I truly believe that you and I are designed to walk in freedom, freedom from selfishness or self-indulgence behavior, bitterness and rejection and evil thoughts. And these four things, these four major blockages that we've been exploring, what we should call heart blockages, are preventing us from living in an overflow life of abundance. They drive our symptoms such as giving into temptation, depression, anger, lust, anxiety, etc. These blockages are preventing us from living in the freedom and abundant life that we have been gifted in Christ Jesus. And over the course of this current talk series that we've been on, Freedom Looks Good on You, I pray that you will be able to experience freedom like you may have never experienced yet. A freedom that moves you from barely surviving to a life in Christ that is truly thriving. Freedom does look good on you, friends. The point scriptures that are guiding our exploration are found in the library books we call the Bible today, in the book of John. John 8 and verse 32 and verse 36 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and daughter and be unquestionably free." Jesus repeatedly teaches us throughout the scriptures that when we believe on Him, which believing is simply a posture of surrender, of believing on Him and surrendering to receive His unfailing and His everlasting and His cascading love for you and I, He gives you this gift of life and life to the fullest. This life to the fullest is brought to you by the Holy Spirit, who is empowering you to continue living in this posture of freedom. Freedom as you follow Jesus. Freedom from sin, shame, and brokenness, past hurts and regrets. These being absorbed by Christ, meaning these things are no longer dictating my thoughts and my emotions and my behaviors as I believe or when I believe. The only way this could work, though, is with new power. Your followership of Jesus is empowered by the Holy Spirit, partnered with your faith. It's relational, it's freeing, it's a new life, and it is without earthly limitations, friends. Last week on the last talk episode, we explored rejection and words and overcoming rejection. And we learned about the power of the tongue, the power of words, and the power of declaring the word of God over our lives. Every time we open up our mouths, we have the opportunity to advance the kingdom of darkness or advance the kingdom of light. What kingdom are we advancing when we open up our mouths? If you are struggling with forgiveness or rejection, take some time to listen in again. Or maybe if you missed it completely and you are curious about what the Holy Spirit might have to say to you in this season, listen in on the podcast or watch again on YouTube. I do believe that we are in a season of plowing like farmers and seeding like farmers. What are you sowing, friends, into the fields of your heart right now? I hope that you have your Bible and your notepad out. I do believe if you are willing to walk along this journey with me, you will learn something from the Holy Spirit today that you will want to probably write down. Write it down so that you can come back to it and read it again and continue to allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you and to reflect on it. Let it speak to you again and again. Let it change your neural, your spiritual and physical pathways today, friends. So together, let's unpack the fourth heart blockage that we've been exploring. This is the fourth one, the heart blockage of evil thoughts. Well, what are evil thoughts? Let's talk about that for a few moments. Good question, right? Jesus teaches us about the evil thoughts in the records of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. He reads this: "Evil originates from inside a person, coming out of a human heart are evil schemes, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, treachery, debauchery, jealousy, slander, arrogance, and recklessness. All these corrupt things emerge from within and constantly pollute a person." Now, there's a huge, enormous danger in looking at this list and saying, well, I sure wouldn't do any of this, right? I don't do that. But if we don't see the capability of these kind of sins in us, then we are truly out of touch with the reality of our fallen nature as well. Spurgeon, who is a preacher and teacher from the late 1800s, says it this way: "Thoughts are the eggs of words and actions, and within the thoughts lie compacted and condensed all the villainy of actual transgressions. If men did but more carefully watch their thoughts, they would not so readily fall into evil habits. But men first indulge the thought of evil and then the imagination of evil. Nor does the process stay there, though. Picturing it before their mind's eye, they excite their own desires after it. And these grow into a thirst and kindle into a passion. Evil thoughts, evil imaginations, all these corrupt things emerge from within and constantly pollute a person, friends. You will and do, including myself, wrestle and grapple with evil thoughts. But the power of the living word can be made alive in you and wash and cleanse your minds with truths that will restore you, that will refresh you, that will reposture you, that will transform your mind and the ways of thinking, freeing us from the captivity and the barrage of evil thoughts. One of the ancients, a man named Joshua, he was about to be commissioned by God to lead the people of God. Big job. A spiritual walk to freedom, much like you and I are exploring through this talk series. Just like the children of the Hebrew children, actually, the desert of spiritual dryness was not a permanent destination for these people. But walking in their destiny of a full life, abundant life, was their destiny. Yet it was going to need Joshua to be in the right mindset. So let's read in Joshua chapter 1. Let's look a little bit. Verse 6 to 8 says, "Be strong and courageous." This is God talking to Joshua. "For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything within it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do," friends. Are you prospering and succeeding in everything that you're doing right now? In all honesty, for the sake of not risking authenticity, I can say that I know that I'm not personally prospering and succeeding in every aspect of my life. Yet I would like to. I desire to. I don't want to excuse myself. That's simply lying to myself. Yet I desire to succeed in championing my poor attitudes, growing effective in my communication skills. I truly desire my heart and that my emotions and my passions, I desire my rhythms to be more Christ-like, to be more like my forgiver and my leader. Be strong and courageous, God told Joshua. And I believe it's a word for us as well. Be careful to obey instructions, not deviating from them. See, when I'm intentional in choosing to meditate on the word of God continually, as I'm growing and maturing in wisdom, I'm leading my body and my soul and my spirit, man, to be in spiritual order, to be in obedience and to be in subjection and surrender to all that Jesus has commanded me to do and be. That was Jesus who said that in Matthew 28, just before he ascended into heaven to teach them to obey all that he has commanded. Imagine someone offering you a gift, a special gift that would guarantee safety, guarantee your direction, your purpose, your value, a gift that would help you rise above any circumstance that you have ever faced, a gift that could keep you from sin and despair and shame and destruction and hopelessness, from making the same insane mistakes over and over and over again. Be strong and very courageous, friends. How eager would you be to receive this gift? Would you stuff it away in a closet? Or would you only look at the wrapped gift and wonder what's in there? Why would I get this gift? I don't deserve this gift. Or would you tear into that gift with wonder and opening it up and revealing the mystery inside and exclaiming with joy and surprise when you see that gift? Well, today you can have this free gift. It's yours for the taking. We have been gifted the scripture, which many call the Bible today, this collection of books, this library of books that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that was written by men of old and women too. It is so much more than another spiritual book, though. It mysteriously comes alive when we read it, and it talks to us and talks to you. It speaks to us. It is powerful, and we have access to all that power within the scripture this gift that's been given. When we read God's word and we apply it to our lives, we will see him fulfill the promises written within its pages. Reading it is one thing. Application, though, is a whole other level of engagement. So you get to read it and you get to apply its teachings in your life. It's still relevant today for the lives that we live, even in our host culture that we're in existing today. Can you ask yourself, am I eating a regular diet of the Word of God, letting its truth replace my evil and dark thoughts and of jealousy and contempt and bitterness and lust, or maybe even our old, out-of-date ways of thinking? Or maybe it's a book that you don't feel like you can trust, or filled with stories that just don't quite make sense to you. That's okay too. Many of us have been in a similar posture and on that same journey. Yet I encourage you to keep exploring, to keep opening up the book and exploring the pages and looking and reading. At Beloved City Church, you don't have to be a theologian or some Bible-thumping expert on Christianese to, first off, experience the presence of Jesus, no friends. And second off, to belong here as part of our spiritual family, no friends. The good thing is none of us are perfect. None of us have it all figured out. All of us are still learning and exploring what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And He, the very Word of God, revealed to man the way, the truth, and the life bridges this gap for us. And He comes across down the mountain to be in relationship with you when you believe that He is our Messiah. So, more about the Word. We read this in our last talk episode in John 1. 1-5, and we'll talk about this in a couple of moments today. It says this in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Mm-hmm. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness does not overcome it, friends. Evil thoughts, darkness, shame, victim mindsets are overcome by light, love, and life, which is found in the Word of God revealed through Jesus Christ. Jesus was present at the world's beginning. He is the Word. Jesus and the Word of God are one and the same, friends. And this has profound implications for our journey. Jesus was manifested in human form and continually is being made manifest through the pages of Scripture as the context and the historical context that's there that we can learn about Jesus and the accounts and the stories and the things that He taught, the very historical accounts of Him. If Jesus showed up right now and sat beside you, you probably wouldn't have too many issues believing that He is with you. Yet the same power in Jesus is in the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. Oh, many of us lean away from engaging with the written Scripture and fail to experience the power of the Word of God in our lives. Are you experiencing powerlessness in your life over that one thing, those emotions, those thoughts? Will you challenge yourself along with me to pick up the Scriptures, the very words of life gifted to you, to be intentional to read them, to engage and to act upon them, and to ask Jesus when you're reading to reveal His truths about God and about faith and about yourself, friends? When we feel that the Word has lost its power, it's not the Word that has changed, but it's our frame of view, our faith, that, and we stopped mixing the Word of God with faith. Make the Word of God a priority in your life. Consume it and reap the power from the Word. The Word will come alive to you and refresh you, restore you, and give you abundant life. John 6 and 63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life." And where do we find these words, friends? In the Scripture. These words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. When Jesus had said this to those who followed Him, He knew that there were many who were following Him for the walking bakery. They were fleshly motivated, seeking their own carnal fulfillment, another loaf of bread possibly. The word spirit, though, here is pneuma in the Greek, and it means the presence or breath of God. Jesus didn't preach to please His audience, but challenges and confronts our idols and challenges our self-indulgent ways of thinking, our unforgiveness, and challenges and confronts our idols of comfort and consumerism. Are you following Jesus for another loaf of bread, friends? The pneuma, the very presence and breath of God, is where we receive life. The Bible is not just another mere collection of famous books or a collection of poetic words that can improve your life. Instead, the scriptures are a powerful body of truth, the living word of God, the very breath of God that alone has the ability to bring about its own fulfillment, just like the entire universe that was created by the words of God being spoken. The word, the world became into existence. Another one of the ancients, a prophet and preacher, Isaiah, in Isaiah 55 and 10 says this, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty or void, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." The word of God is literally spirit and life, meant to accomplish the will and purpose of God in the earth and in you and in your life and in your circles of influence, in your problems, in your situations, and it will succeed, friends. Yet, when we try, though, to understand the Bible with our earthly logic only, per se, with our minds, it's dry and seems without power. It's like reading a novel without the proper prescriptive glasses. But when we include the Spirit of God in the process, the Word of God comes alive, and it's personal, it's intimate, it's relational. We need the Spirit of God for the Word to come alive in our lives. Jesus teaching as recorded in John, he revealed himself as God, teaches us about his authority. And then this again in John 5 and 36 says, "But I have a greater witness than John," he was saying to his followers, "my teachings and my miracles. The Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that he sent me. And the Father who sent me has testified about me himself. You have never heard his voice or seen him face to face, and you do not have his message in your hearts because you do not believe me. The one he sent to you, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me," said Jesus. Wow. The New Testament is full of religious people questioning Jesus and his legitimacy to being the Son of God or the way to God. Or the Pharisees, they knew the scripture well, better than anyone at their time, actually, better than most today, probably. And they were devoted to and given to memorization of the scripture. Yet the word of God, the way to God, God himself in humanity, was standing right in front of them, and they would not believe. Jesus confronts them by saying, "You search the scripture because you think they give you eternal life, but the scripture points to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the word of God manifest in flesh." Friends, you will miss the big picture if you are reading the word to get a thought for the day. The Bible can and will come alive for you. The Bible does introduce you to the true character and mind of Jesus, which can and will genuinely change your life and way of thinking when you are willing. It's a relationship, not a religion. Jesus came to set us free and give us life to the full. And he's given us the gift of the Word of God so we can continue being empowered by the Holy Spirit as we read the scripture and understand the truths that he wants to reveal to us. Ask yourself, am I reading the Bible out of duty? Do I even read the Bible? Am I only in it for the bread? What do I get out of it? Or am I reading it out of the desire to know my God, to know my leader, my forgiver in a real and intimate way? Can I get kind of techie for a moment? It just might help bring some clarity to somebody today. The words Dabar and Logos and Rhema are three words in the Bible that were translated into our English language as word. So Dabar, Logos, and Rhema, word in English. Digging down though into the text will often help us understand the text more appropriately to help us have a more correct understanding of the scriptural text. So it's also important to understand through revelation, a flesh and blood did not reveal this to you type revelation like Peter, but my heavenly Father has revealed this to you, which is a rhema word. That's what rhema means, is revealed. Often refers to past tense, but directly means revealed word. So Hebrews, I'll give you an example, 11 and 3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God," which is rhema, "so that things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear." This is revealed word is what we're talking there. And in Dabar in Hebrew is logos in Greek, which we read already in John 1. I'll read it again with the word logos. In the beginning was the logos, and the word logos was with God, and the logos was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. Now, when you study Greek and Hebrew, one of the things you'll learn about the Hebrew word Dabar and Greek word logos, we learn that God referred to his thoughts, plans, and reasoning in his mind as the word of whom he is. The importance of this understanding is to show you and I that God and the word of God are inseparable. Remembering, God is a spirit. The word was with God as the mind of God, the reasoning of God, and the plan or purpose of God. This is found in the very definition of the word logos, which is translated in our languages as word. Friends, understanding that the word of God is more than just a Bible or collection of books, but it's also the life-giving pathway to knowing the person of God through Jesus Christ, so that you and I may surrender and give ourselves to his leadership and receive his spirit of life and truth to live in us, the Holy Spirit as promised by Jesus himself, born again of the Spirit. The Word of God has been made alive and now lives and dwells in us and teaches us and guides us and nudges us. Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, man, so good. One of the most incredible stories in the Bible is the account of young Mary, who was visited by the angel Gabriel, who tells her she's about to become the mother of the Savior of the world. We just went through Christmas, and you probably heard some of this story again in Luke 1 and 26. Mary's initial response to the angel was, how she as a virgin could bear a child. And in verse 37 of Luke 1, Gabriel says, nothing is impossible with God. Now, the word nothing in Greek is two words. It means no rhema, rhema being the Greek word for word, and it means revealed word. Some of you have experienced the rhema word of God. Maybe that you are like me, and while listening to a sermon or scripture being read aloud, you experience the words as though they're leaping off the page, leaping off the lips of the speaker, piercing your flesh to the very core of your heart as though they're speaking to you directly, addressing the very situation that you are walking through. The revealed word of God, the revelation of God, God introducing himself to you. Here I am, friends. I am the gift of life. And I'm giving myself to you. Will you believe? Will you look to me as your forgiver and your leader? Will you follow me and obey all that I've taught you? When the word becomes revelation to you, no word God speaks will be void of the power for its fulfillment in your present, past, and future. See in verse 38, the same story of Mary. Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let your will be done. And the angel departed from her. When the word becomes revelation, belief and faith rise up in our lives. Like Mary, the word becomes revelation. She believed. And when the rhema word became from the angel Gabriel, she was already prepared to obey. She had already settled in her heart prior that anything that God would speak to me would be true and worthy of my faith and my obedience. Can you ask yourself, have you settled in your heart that when you hear God speak, that you are responding in faith to listen and to act in obedience to what God is saying to you in your life? My personal prayer for you and I is this, that God, even when we may not understand your word in the season that we're going through, that we would choose to trust you anyway. He is looking for us to obey his word, to be in relationship with him through his word. When we trust and are obedient, prepared for his revealed word, his rhema word in our lives, you will walk in unstoppable love, unstoppable power, and overflowing grace. Thanks, Jesus. Let me give you some practical steps today. Here are some ways to activate the word of God in your life. Number one, make God's word a priority in your life. We're talking about ways to activate God's word in your life. Make it a priority. We will always make time for the things that are important to us, right? Just like our body needs food for fuel, our spirit needs the word of God. It will bring your spirit man to life and to strength and to fullness of life. Number two, believe what you read in scripture. Choose to believe that the word of God is true. God said it's impossible to please him without faith. If you put your trust in God's word, you will see your faith and confidence grow exponentially as you read his word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Number three, we meditate on the scriptures. Psalms 1:2 says, the righteous man delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. The word meditate means to chew the cud. For you farmers out there, if you've ever seen a cow chew its cud, this would have significant meaning to you. Chewing, 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 making sure we get every nutrient out of it, swallow it, and then recall it, regurgitate it, and chew on it some more. Constantly chewing on the word of God makes room for the rhema word revelation to take place and puts your faith into motion, friends. Here's some ways to meditate on God's word. Meditation, I know, is a word that it's a buzzword today. But here's something. Number one, how to meditate on God's word. Speak God's word out loud. Find declarations in scripture that you can speak aloud to strengthen your spirit, man. Activating your mouth and speaking over yourself. Remind your soul of what is good and perfect and true. It builds your faith. Here's a memorize truth and promises from the word of God and speak it directly over your situation. Let me give you an example. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's 1 John 4:4. Another way to meditate on God's word is make them personal. When you're reading the word of God, make it personal like this. I'll give you some examples. Luke 10:19. God has given me authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm me. Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply my need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Psalms 27 of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? So make it personal. Make it personal. When you meditate on the scripture, put yourself in the story. Think about the word day and night is the third one to help you meditate on God's word. Think about it as often as you can, day and night. When you are tuned into God 1 hour out of 16 waking hours, guess what? My life will seem bigger than God. But when I'm thinking about him and his word, his revealed word, my world collides with God's world, becoming one as they're designed to be. The secular and the sacred collide. Stop keeping God out of your secular world. There shouldn't be a great divide, friends, to those who have become one in Christ. Make his word a priority throughout your day. And lastly on that one, make meditation practical. Hey, me. Be a great goal to read through the Bible in a year, or maybe you're feeling really ambitious, you want to read through it 3 times in a year. But a practical way to make sure that it's sinking into your heart and becoming a part of your DNA is you chewing on it, regurgitating, meditate, recite it, share it with your friends, write about it, journal about it. It's more practical to read one verse 30 times a day than reading for 30 minutes. Take a verse and read it 30 times. Try that for a moment or two or a few weeks or a year. Proverbs 3:1 says, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. We're talking about walking in freedom today, friends. Freedom does look good on you. And lastly, put it into action. Study the word of God, meditate the word of God, put it into action. Do what is written before you. It's one thing to actively study the word, learning from it and getting excited about it, but are we applying the word of God and doing what it says? The promises of God are fulfilled when we walk in obedience to his word. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Don't glance at the mirror and then see yourself and then walk away forgetting to be a doer of the word. Be a man and woman of action in the word of God. This is my faith at work in me. Let me leave you with three things, and we'll close and pray. Three things that you need to write down. Write them down, friends. I believe they will help you engage in this word today. Meditation will turn into revelation. That's the first one. Meditation will turn into revelation. Number two, revelation will activate your faith. Number three, when your faith is activated, your world shifts. The same power that is in Jesus is in the word. receive the truth of the word. Let it work in your life. Find Jesus in the word. Make it a priority in your life to mirror his way of living. You will experience the revelation word, the rhema word, the revelation of Jesus Christ in you and revealed through you by the spirit of revelation, the Holy Spirit. Friends, freedom does look good on you. So good. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for me to be in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin and my shame. And I choose to receive this extravagant gift of life today and ask you to come into my heart and be the Lord and leader of my entire life, Jesus. I give you all of me and ask you to lead my life for your glory. Fill me with your spirit and help me to live the life that you died to give me. Turn my eyes to you. Help me to be face to face with you, Jesus, to walk hand in hand with you. I want to be in relationship with you. Holy Spirit, reveal and reconcile these areas in my life where I have held on to evil thoughts and my old ways of thinking. Create in me and create in us a hunger for your truth. Reveal to us through your word and spirit your plans and your purposes for our lives, how we too can walk in abundant life. Show us how to activate your word in our lives, Jesus. Show me. Continue to reveal your truths to me. Holy Spirit, change me, transform me, and fill me, Holy Spirit, with the fullest, with your spirit. Fill me up full. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So good. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time, and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. If you would like to publicly declare your decision to be a follower of Jesus and follow his commandment of being baptized into water and by immersion, let us know. We want to walk that out with you as well. At Beloved City Church, we are passionate about what God has called us to do to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus, making an impact for eternity, both in us and those in others around us. Will you take a step to partner with us with your time, your energy, and money with us at Beloved to help us continue and grow the day-to-day ministry of Beloved City Church? Thank you for your generosity. Thanks for walking this out with us. Faith without works is dead faith. Together, let's work out of our faith. We can make it official. Join the Big Table family at Beloved City Church. Sign up for the next family discovery coming up. Family Discovery Night. Come learn what it means to be a part of the Beloved City Church family. Help us make it work. Join the Grow team. Serve alongside this amazing team at Beloved City Church who's working alongside the mission of Jesus and help us make it grow. Will you prayerfully consider today giving financially to help support the day-to-day ministry of Beloved City Church? Thank you, friends. We love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you today. May his word come alive to you as you begin to journey through the scriptures, and as you pray through that the rhema word will come and he'll reveal himself to you in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen.